Step into the wealth elevator and join our 12,000 plus member community who have passively invested over $200 million to acquire over $2.1 billion in commercial real estate. Sign up by going to thewealthelevator.com/club, and here we go.
This is a story about a dude named Lane. He moved to the mainland and bought one place to stay. And then one day he went and tried to rent them out. And then he became one real investor man.
If you guys are watching on the YouTube channel, and behind me, that's the pool to one of our stabilized assets in Houston, Texas. But I wanted to take today to just talk about what's been happening in apartment investing lately. Now, apartment investing has been extremely competitive over the last few years, and despite the continual cap rate compression bringing down investor returns, we strongly feel that cash flow investing in recession-resistant assets is still a prudent strategy over holding more than 20% of your cash lazy equity on the sidelines, where it's not making anything there. The last decade, some say, has been the golden age of apartment investing, especially in the state of Texas. However, one has to suspect that we cannot sustain this type of current growth, which is always what your apartment bears are going to be saying. But as the person I'm thinking about has predicted what the last five out of the last two recessions in the last 20 something years, where our clock is always right twice a day, is the same. They're just here to sell books. They're not investors. They're just economists. They're just like the weather. Now, a market reversion or leveling off is bound to happen. We want to protect our capital while it's growing as best as we can. So how do we do it? Our goal is to stay in the game, get cash flow, and mitigate our risk by conservative underwriting using data, our network of our operators, boots on the ground, due diligence, and data that is not available to the public, such as CoStar, which owns apartments.com and is a big conglomerate of data. There, we get the market rent growth, vacancies, version cap rates, etc. Yeah. In 2019, I have seen a couple tricky methods that deal operators employ in their underwriting. And I go into this great detail in the Syndication LP course, which is for purchase. You go to simplepassivecashflow.com/ecourses, and you can check out all the other e-courses we have. Now, this course I developed exactly for the passive LP investor. So if you're busy, this is the best way you're going to get up to speed with evaluating which investments to be going into. But anyway, let's get into these tricky methods. First, as I discussed many times before, you have to look at this cap rate to reversion cap rate. And I've named this the cap rate gate, where a lower than reversion cap rate exit is used. Normally, I like to see a 0.5 to 1% increase on your projected reversion cap rate to your prevailing cap rate. And the reason why I want to assume that the prevailing cap rate is lower than what we assume is in the future, assuming that you're going to be selling in a junker market. Right? If it goes better, well, awesome. More money to us as investors. But let's assume that we're selling in a worse off market. That's the reason why we're assuming that we're taking the prevailing cap rate, say it's a 5 cap, and we're adding a half a point to a full point right on top of that for the reversion cap rate in our underwriting to make it 5.5 or maybe even 6%. This is where I like to hold a lot of the contingency. Things aren't going to go perfectly. There's a lot of if in life, and things typically go wrong. So by doing this, you can put a lot of contingency in here, which just ultimately helps you when things go well. Now, many institutional operators, when we ask them this, what are they using? They'll admit to be using a negative quarter point to maybe at most a quarter point increase factor in reversion cap rates. So the way we're doing is actually they're going a quarter point expansion. We're going, what, 2 to 4 times that. But hey, they can do what they want to do. Now, second, being more aggressive on operational components like rent growth and expenses compared against the projection of market analysis. Oftentimes, taking the exception to bump the rents any more than 12 to 15%, I think is crazy. Unless you're doing a super heavy amount of value add, where you're doing maybe $8,000 to $15,000 rehab per unit. Now, maybe you might see that 12 to 20% bump. I think I've seen a deal the other day where they're expecting to bump the rents up 40%. That's not going to happen, in my opinion. If it is, maybe I didn't look at the deal, maybe I didn't run the comps, but when I just saw that, I was like, whoa, that's a big jump. There's certainly going to be a lot of vacancy as your tenants give you the middle finger as they balk and don't renew. Now, every deal is different, and of course, you could be legitimately lower rents, But I think whenever you're going over that 12 to 15% range, you've got to be really scratch your head and really verify those comps. I mean, we've had it. We've had deals where the rents are legitimately under market, but that's very rare, especially in these days where it's very competitive.
Are you a non-accredited investor looking for opportunities to invest passively? How about a newer investor looking to get a bit of a track record and confidence from your spouse, who's a little bit skeptic of what you've been listening to the last few months? And could you use the reinforcement of double-digit returns paid like clockwork in the form of monthly dividends? The American Home Preservation Fund, or AHP, is currently open again and is looking to bring new investors with them. I have been investing with them since 2016, and originally I used it as a means to pay for my regular expenses. I started with $60,000 as my initial investment, and that paid my car payment completely for me every single month. AHP collaborates with existing homeowners to keep them in their homes via restructuring or selling the debts, unlike their competitors. It's a way to make great returns while feeling good about making a social impact. After investing myself in the fund, it was awesome when owner George Newberry saw the impact Simple Passive Cashflow was making and eventually approached me to become a spokesperson of the company. You can start investing with as little as $100, and if you want a free Burn Zone book, please send me an email at lane@simplepassivecashflow.com. For more information about investing with AHP, go to hpservicing.com/investors.
I like to buy stuff.
Well, that's a liability.
Now, another trick that folks like to do in this business, inflating other income or non-rental revenue, such as trash valet, additional storage fees, reserved parking, or covered parking in Texas. That's a big one for those like hailstorms. Money from vending machines, money from laundry machines, or any type of service that may or may not be tested by the current clientele. This has been a way to sneak deals past even the most astute passive investors who have understanding of underwriting. Just put stuff into other income category because most people don't look there. Now, the way we do it is like we come up with our operating budget and rehab budgets with, of course, deferred maintenance, because that has bit us in the butt in the past. So we made that lesson learned. But we independently use the knowledge of our past projects. And it's great when we have so many properties in that same area that we can benchmark against. We also use the big data from sources like CoStar or the Reese Report to give us insight on the operating budget of other comparable buildings in our vicinity. Now, the second piece of that, and like I said, this is independent. Our property manager, even before acquisition, is walking all of the units and coming up with their own operational budget, rehab budget. So two things there, right? What can we run the property at, and what big deferred maintenance items or what things that they think they can revamp in that, and they're coming up with that budget. From there, we come up with their numbers independently, put our heads together. We don't really peek at what our property management is doing. The team comes together, we create a budget, and of course add some room for contingency, and especially in the rehab budgets. Now, this sequence creates a level of expectation that the property manager is held accountable for with the bottom line, or the profit and loss statement, being the assumed performance rubric, which means if the property manager comes up with a budget, we're holding them accountable to that. If they don't hit it, they're a gun for hire. We can always fire them and get another one. That said, overall yields might be dropping. However, we don't undertake a project unless we underwrite it the right way and feel more than comfortable in taking on investor capital. But at this time, I think, you know, what you're probably seeing, a lot of strength in multifamily apartments, and you're starting to see some institutions, especially from the retail sector or some office, coming into this multifamily apartments is seen as a safe haven. Maybe it may not make sense to be in apartments. Of course, that's on the high level. And I think a lot of investors, they listen to a lot of podcasts, they start to get these ideas in their head, and they're not digging into the exact deal. We're not going to a deal unless it's 1 in 1,000. And that 1 in 1,000 kind of defies the generalities. It's saying like all boys are bad when they're teenagers. They might be on average, but I think if it's yours, you'd probably say mine's a special, right? Kind of the same thing here. Sorry if I offended everybody. But we like to think that the deal that we're picking, the reason why we're picking that one is because it's a 1 in 1,000 deal that sort of defies generalities. So yeah, even if though apartments are getting more and more expensive, trying to pick that diamond in the rough. And this is where I say, like, I think the same example can be where investors are looking at a certain market and say, I don't like that market. Have you even looked at it? Have you even taken a look at not the MSA, but the submarket, but not only that submarket, but what is it on that block? What's the vibe of the area? But just some things to be on the lookout for. If you want to learn more about this, go to simplepassivecashflow.com/syndication. And thanks for listening, guys. Please share this with your friends.
This website offers very general information concerning real estate for investment purposes. Every investor situation is unique. Always seek the services of licensed third-party appraisers and inspectors to verify the value and condition of any property you intend to purchase. Use the services of professional title and escrow companies and licensed tax, investment, and or legal advisor before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, as in every investment there is risk. The content found here is just my opinion, and things change, and I reserve the right to change my mind. Above all else, do your own analysis and think for yourself, because in the end, you are the only person who is going to look out for your best interests.
The proceeding is not tax, legal, or investment advice, nor an offer to sell securities or investment products. Always make informed decisions with professional guidance. Get educated and surround yourself with a community at thewealthelevator.com/club.